So is that what happens on Dage right now? They're just random sound effects, like it's some morning talk show.
Man, that would be kind of fun to have a soundboard, but I'm too lazy to operate one. Actually, I'm too lazy to get the sound effects for
one. Is there a John Cena bot? I should have just added one and just made it play. And
we're not talking about this or this. We're talking what? About
John Cena. Oh,
yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Data Drain, a Nintendo Oki podcast where we talk about stuff. With me on this episode, we have Jason.
Yellow.
We have Shelby.
I love talking about stuff.
And we have Stuart.
What Ethan doesn't know is that this is actually a Pop-Tart podcast.
I am not suffering through another food podcast like the Oreo thing.
But Pop-Tarts are better than Oreos.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
I will fight you, Jason.
I don't think I can eat 30 types of Pop-Tarts.
Well, there's one way to find out.
We're going 50.
I'm not. It's not even challenge accepted. It's challenge denied.
More for me, then. Fine.
I mean, I'll eat a couple, but I'm not eating. I'm not trying every. You know what? We're not here to talk about food. No, we are not.
Are we?
I mean, That's stuff. Food is stuff.
And yes, good stuff.
We're not here to buy sausage either.
Good stuff, yeah.
And if I don't put that in the episode, everyone's going to be very confused by that statement now.
What are we here to talk about, Ethan, host of Data Drain?
Grapplers.
Okay, let's close.
Baki?
I was hoping someone would do that, yes. No, we're talking Outlaw Star.
The anime?
The series.
Oh.
The manga.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there is a manga. Hard to find chapters to read online illegally, but whatever.
Well, that probably because it was never officially released in the U.S.
It hasn't stopped fans from translating stuff before.
That anyway. Sounds like a perfect topic for a Kickstarter.
Can you do that?
Can you kickstart a bootleg anime or manga? I guess you could try. They did that whole potato salad thing, and that seemed to go over very well, from what I understand.
Was that a Bant? No, who was this? Ultra Jumps and Sunrise.
Yeah.
Are they even around still?
Yeah, they do. They do Gundam, lots and lots and lots of Gundam.
So that's Bandai.
Yeah.
Huh. Well. You know what, let's just move on to the actual topic we're still talking about.
All right, Angel Links, here we go.
Oh man, Angel Links, we will talk about that later in the episode.
Good.
Oh.
Because I like listening to you suffer.
That explains so much.
That'd be why he was part of the Oreo podcast.
I mean, that was part of it.
Shelby made it his ringtone.
Yeah, just Ethan going, no more Oreo.
Okay, so Outlaw Star, series about a young male protagonist named Gene Starwind, who's got red hair and a phobia of space due to his father dying in space, and he was in space at the time.
You know, he looks much older than they say he is in the show.
Yeah, I was really confused at the end when they said he was only 20.
Hard life, man.
Wait, I thought that he was actually in his teens.
I'm pretty sure they said he was 20 at the end.
Maybe he was 20. That would explain why he was able to go into the bars.
So that might be a dub thing.
Oh, it might have been a dub thing. Maybe that was the US version. They made him younger than, I don't know. There was a lot of editing that happened in the US version.
Yeah.
Especially after I watched the Japanese version later on. And I was like, I don't remember this happening.
I don't remember this whole episode.
Yeah, I don't remember this whole episode, in fact.
I'm surprised they didn't do the Tenchi Muyo approach on there and give everyone swimsuits.
But they all did have swimsuits.
You know, they actually did do that for her, Melfina, in the first time.
Yeah.
Episode.
Yeah.
They also made her skin, like, super pale. I'm looking at side.
Are you looking
side
at
images.
That side?
Yeah. The wiki page.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Outlaw Star is about a, like, as Ethan was originally starting with, a pair of kids or a young adult and a teenager that have pretty much made a life for themselves just doing odd end jobs for hire. And I guess they run into a series of, I'm not going to say unfortunate events, but random events that led them to going into outer space and going on a pretty much a treasure hunt.
Trial of misadventures is how I like to call it.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
Gene Starwind and Jim Hawkins of Starwind and Hawking Enterprises. They fix anything from tractors to relationships. That's a good tagline.
That was the tagline.
It's a good tagline. Solid.
I don't think he fixed very many relationships,
though. I was just thinking that.
I didn't really see very many tractors, though.
I think they were fixing one at one point. That was it.
So if you're listening to this anime-related podcast, and we're talking about an anime you're familiar with, I'm going to guess it's safe to assume that if I said Outlaw Star is similar to Cowboy Bebop, you would probably know what I mean. As in, you have a band of space-faring individuals, all with unique powers and abilities, that go on adventures in space and do awesome things, and it's kind of cool.
Oh, by the way, this series started in January of 1998, and ended about 6 months later in June. And we didn't see it over here in the U.S. until 2000 and...
January 2001.
Thank you.
Yeah, they should have done Toonami in the United States. I'm not sure where it aired in Canada.
But. Well, eventually they moved it to Adult Swim.
Oh, did they actually finally ever show it on Adult Swim?
Yes. But,
that's cool.
Yeah, in 2002, it started off in January 2001 on Toonami, and then 2002 went to Adult Swim.
Huh, that's funny, because I got on the Adult Swim forums at one point and said, hey, show Outlaw Star, and they deleted my post.
Because they're like, we can't let this stand, otherwise we might think that we stole his idea.
Maybe, or maybe I said and showed the episode they didn't show on TV, and that may have something to do with it, I don't know.
Oh, please, they show worse things in their fan submission tweets on TV.
And I'm also curious as to why I cared that Adult Swim show it, because at that point I already owned the DVDs and already had full access to the unedited version, both in English and Japanese.
So you had the internet too, so...
At that point, I did not have access to the internet regularly. I did not own a computer by that time.
So the episode or the series was also shown in the United Kingdom on CNX in 2002.
The anime network. I've made that up. That's not true.
I was about to ask.
CNX is not the European anime network.
I can find out what this network is, but I don't.
I'm going to imagine it's like CNN, but with robots.
Wow, and
Cartoon Network Extreme
just got mad. I can hear them typing furiously.
So, Outlaw Star is a 26-episode anime. No OVAs or anything of the sort. It's an older anime, so it's like 4x3. What else? What else about it?
There's not even a movie.
Yeah, there's not a movie.
There was plans for either a movie or a spinoff. Kind of a sequel spinoff thing going on.
Well, that happened.
That is not Angel Links. And apparently the scripts were so bad or something, no one was willing to bother with it.
That's a bummer, because there's definitely room for them to work in like a movie similar to how Cowboy Bebop did. They could just squeeze it in there somewhere, or just make it after the fact. Jeez, there's plenty of room in that story. It's not like
part of the story like involved just everyone going their separate ways, and then you just have like, I think it was just Jim. I don't even know if Jim was still there. I think it was just Gene, and maybe Melfina was said to be in college.
Yeah, that's
so like
that's
you don't even have. You don't even have best girl Aisha there, so.
I'm surprised that Melfi wouldn't even be in college, because she, I would think that she could be the college.
I mean, yeah, she's kind of... So Melfina being a... I don't know, how did you...
She was a bio-android.
Well, I just was getting ready to say the main female protagonist.
Oh, okay.
Which I imagine she probably is, but the main cast is... composed of two males, being Gene Starwind and Jim Hawkins, and three females, being Melfina, the bio-android, Suzuka, a.k.a. Twilight Suzuka, an assassin, and Aisha Clan
is of the Kataro,
your anime cat lady for the show, so...
With a tail that disappears midway through the series.
It does?
They just up and stop drawing the tail altogether.
Yeah, maybe she like could have put it in her pocket. I don't know.
It didn't like get cut off or anything after one of the fights she had, did it?
No, I think it showed up for that fight and only that fight.
She can actually turn into a cat, which is kind of unique. Like literally,
it's
like
not
a
so
big
much
tiger
a cat. It's just a. It's like a big puma.
That's a cat?
I was hoping for more of a red versus blue reference there, sorry. Pig.
What, man, like a puma? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man. Yeah, I really like the Aisha character. She was your, I'm going to say, comic relief?
Yeah, definitely was the comic part of a whimsical show. But certainly when it hit its serious moments, you know, Aisha was definitely there to have the joke, you know.
Oh, we forgot to mention the other member of the team, Gilliam.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
He wouldn't let you forget.
The robot. So Gilliam being the AI for the ship, the Outlaw Star, a.k.a. the XJP-15, whatever the heck it is, the call number for the thing is, which is a special ship. Designed by both good and bad forces of the world of Outlaw Star, being
wow, you are really close on that name.
It's XGP-15 something.
XGP-15A-2.
What did I say? XGP.
You said XGP-15.
What is it? What is it? Not XJP. What? The XGP. Yeah, I keep okay. That's me getting things backwards, as I tend to do sometimes.
There you go. That's what it looks like.
Well, okay, so the reason that I'm familiar with the call number is because to study up for this show, I watched Outlaw Star in Japanese for the first time, so I read it over and over in the subtitles, because I have previously only ever watched it in English. And
I did the same thing.
I did not realize how much I had watched it in English. It's been several years since I watched the show, but in watching it in Japanese, I was reciting the English lines from memory. So I'm like, oh, I guess I watched this show a lot.
It was kind of interesting seeing how in particular Fred, how much differently he was portrayed.
How much censoring there was done on him.
I remember him being quite so flamboyant in the American version.
Yeah, they censored the crap out of
him. They had to tone it down a bit for, you know, afternoon cartoon network. So
Fred Lowe is their
sponsor.
He's the bankroll. Yeah, he's their money man.
The sugar daddy.
There you go.
For those of you who have played Shadowrun, the tabletop RPG, he would be your Johnson.
Oh, I forgot the thing. So the XGP-15A was made by like the cops and the pirates secretly together in order to find the Galactic Ley Line, which is like mysterious place in the universe where energy flows through and you get wishes, apparently like a genie. And so they're trying to find it. And Melfina is the bio-android that is made to help navigate the ship to there. And through a series of random happenstances and whimsical misadventures, Gene Starwin becomes the captain of said ship. And that's pretty much the premise of the show, them trying to not be broke and find the Galactic Ley Line.
You know, actually, they never even knew before they got there what the Galactic Leyline exactly was. They just knew it was a place and there was treasure there, supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. Aisha thought it was going to be a bunch of Dragonite.
Yeah.
Dragonite? Oh, that's actually no, Katara.
Dragonite's like flying everywhere.
C-T-A-R-L.
So, yeah, it's called Dragonite in Outlaw Star. That's how it was localized in the spoken version and in the subtitles as well. But in watching something, some other show that we may talk about later, Dragonite was the name of a species, and they just called it, like, Dragon Stones or something like that. So, but then again, this other thing that we may talk about later is a little different. So let's not talk about that yet.
The series itself actually borrows heavily on a Chinese inspiration, I guess. Maybe the culture a bit here and there, too.
Yeah. You mean all the pirating?
Pagawa Sunfa?
Dang it.
Made you derail that train of thought.
I don't even know what I was going to say next.
They have borrowed heavily from the Chinese culture.
Well, there were a lot of explosions.
There were a lot of explosions.
So bringing up the Chinese culture thing, I think this is the perfect time to point out something that has bothered me for a, let's say, at least half of my life.
The Heifong's planets?
No. Like, yeah. I love Outlaw Star a lot. It is one of my favorite anime. I would give it my highest recommendation for people to watch. I All also right. am a rather large fan of a series called Firefly, which is very popular amongst people. I do not understand why everybody that likes Firefly doesn't say, hey, I like Outlaw Star a lot, too, because they are extremely similar.
Only in one small two small aspects there, though. Three small aspects.
Very, very large aspects. Like Wild West in space. Like, you got a female character that, like, has no memory, but is, like, knows everything. And you got people with a lot of Chinese culture speaking, like, English with a lot of Chinese things going on around them. Like, they seem pretty similar.
And the girl was locked in a suitcase.
Yeah. 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 When I saw that
wearing a swimsuit.
So when I saw that commercial on Fox, like, Firefly, not Fairy Tale. That's a different thing. Firefly. And they showed the suitcase thing. I'm like, did they make a live action Outlaw Star?
It's pretty much everyone's reaction seeing that scene.
Was it not just me? Okay, good. Good to know.
Of course, Firefly had been off the, was canceled by Fox years before I ever got to see it, so not Outlaw Star or Firefly.
Right, you saw Firefly after the fact, not Outlaw Star.
Yeah, it was like probably just a few years ago.
I can see the comparison to Outlaw Star and Firefly. I never thought about that.
Yeah, they seem pretty similar enough to where I would think the Venn diagram of popularity between them would be more overlapping than it is, but. I'd
say
not.
Of the two, if I were to pair them, I would prefer, honestly, Firefly. Big reason, Jane.
Yeah, I can see that. That's pretty good.
He's the comic relief that Outlaw Star was really missing.
Jane is the Aisha Clan of Firefly, is what you're saying?
I already saw my kind of Aisha Clan is a little more on the annoying side. She didn't really even join them till late in the show.
The rest of the time, she was just kind of traveling with them.
Kind of traveling and being like, oh, it's you guys. Yeah, I'm going to get you guys this time. You owe me.
Yeah, definitely a you owe me a bike, Ash, kind of thing.
Oh, man.
It's pretty deep cut.
So is she actually immortal?
No, what? I think they're just really strong.
Because they kept saying she was immortal. She took a castor shell to the face.
Yeah, but so have other people.
I don't even know. I feel like I was kind of a waste of a castor shell. I was like, oh, she's on the ground. Let's shoot her. See if it works.
Oh, man, the caster. We should talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the coolest weapons ever made.
Yeah.
And name.
Definitely, like, amongst anime weapons is, like, top of my list, like, coolest thing.
So the caster is the weapon of choice for Gene, I guess.
It's his trump card, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. When the chips are down, that gun's going to get them out of the situation, probably.
As long as it's not a dud.
So the caster is a specialized gun that uses specialized ammo, of all things, that are enchanted bullets?
They're like shells enchanted with magic or infused with magic. So you shoot them and it's kind of like you're casting a spell in a weird way with a bullet. Along those lines.
Yeah, something like that. So in other words, if you're someone who, like Gene, is just human, can't cast spells, well, here's your alternative. But you got to be ready to pay a ton of money to just get one shell of whatever.
So yeah, they're so old. So it'd be the equivalent of, you know, you making a gun that shot beta tapes or something out of it, you know, or 8-track tapes. So they're incredibly hard to find, and it leads to Jim like going through pawn shops and weird places and paying ridiculous prices for these old antique bullets.
Or in one case, delivering a VHS tape.
You know, it's funny how that works.
Man, I really don't understand the difference between the shells. It's like you're supposed to have an understanding that, okay, like this one's supposed to do lightning and this one might do fire and ice or something. But every time you see them, it's just like a big blast, and it's really cool, but that's about it.
What, you like want them to shoot the gun and it's a lightning bolt, or shoots the gun and it's a big green tornado?
I want to see like a little more variance between the shots, at least.
Okay.
I think they were color-coded.
A little bit, but it you don't see the gun used that often. You don't see it used often enough to be like, oh yeah, last time he shot it was purple, that's weird, and oh, he's using a shell 32 instead of a shell 54?
So I don't know how much of that is just like, probably the real answer is like they had animation budgets and money limits. But, you know, you could explain it in universe like they're old shells and maybe they don't have the oomph they used to, or maybe, you know, they don't necessarily work until they hit on impact, or whatever headcanon reasons you want to try to come up with to justify it. But I gotcha.
I personally prefer the Kamehameha shots.
Just focus one of those into a shell. And then the gun breaks.
The gun doesn't break.
Never. The other caster gun that we saw in the series, the guys on the Eldorado.
Ron McDougal and Harry McDougal. Ron McDougal,
the old McDougal brothers. Yeah. Their caster gun looked more like a wand.
I always kind of imagined that because the reason his looked like a, well, I don't know about it looked like a wand, but the reason it didn't look old and decrepit like Gene's gun is because Ron has a lot of money, and he basically just, like, where Jim had to, like, scrounge for stuff like that, Harry just like, here's all the money. Make me a caster gun that looks like a wand because I want to be a magical girl, I guess?
Make me a caster gun that's got better amplification ability? Who knows?
I mean, it's a magic gun, so I guess getting upset that it looks like a magic wand? It's got like a dream catcher
attached to it for some reason. And it's never explained, but that's a good assumption there.
I just assumed he stole it.
Maybe, yeah. He's a cutthroat kind of dude. That's a good
point.
He probably
could have just stole the design and had someone make it.
I never thought about that. These are good things to come up on a podcast. We're all talking about the same thing.
There is another instance where the caster gun has been mentioned, and that would be in another little series called Future Retro Hero Story.
What is that?
As far as I know, it is a manga by the same writer for Outlaw Star, Takahiko Ito, I guess? Is that how you say that? Let's see. If anyone wants to confirm that name.
I'd say Takehito.
Yeah, close enough.
And that's about a more Earth modern day story where the the main protagonist, also redheaded, starting to get interested into space travel using his grandpa's spaceship, and there's magical powers involved, and apparently his grandfather had a caster too.
So, hearing you say this, is this like a under the table kind of nudge nudge wink wink hint, like, yo, this is a descendant or a predecessor to Gene Starwind, like his great grandfather or his father or something like that?
Or am I? It is entirely possible, because okay. I think I told you this before a while back. Outlaw Star is future hero next generation.
Right. I've always wondered what that meant.
And whereas the title of this other one was future retro hero story. So this one's just straight up the name. It's not even a subtitle. So, yeah, Outlaw Star is Outlaw Star, Future Hero, Next Generation.
All right, well, I need to read this now, because apparently it's a prequel to Outlaw Star.
Of sorts. Random thing, I was just looking up the artist. I didn't realize, and it makes total sense after seeing the artwork, this guy was the character designer for Thousand Arms as well. For those of you
who have that game, don't I?
I don't know. I have that game.
Sir, I have that game, don't I?
I don't know. I know I don't have
I think you told me to buy it, and I did. That's that PS1 game, right? With the
PS1 game where you basically date girls and get abilities by dating them?
I don't know. It doesn't ring a bell. Was it at VidCon? I do remember that one time I told Jason to buy Popful Mail.
Yeah, I remember that time, too, and I still have it.
Good times. So, speaking of other spinoffs, Shelby.
Huh?
Angel Links.
You want to talk about Angel Links now?
Why not? We're talking about other stuff right now.
Okay. So, back when I bought the DVDs for Outlaw Star, which was the first anime I ever owned, I'm proud to say, I saved up a lot of money to spend $80 on the three case set, six disc set of Outlaw Star. It was like $90 at Suncoast for the box set. Whoo, God, that was so much money for me because I was just starting college. I was just out of high school. But, yeah. And
so now it's not a lot of money?
Now, yeah. It's still a lot of money, but, you know, as an adult with my own income, you know, I can make that happen a little easier. But anyway, there was a trailer on, I think it was the last disc for other anime, and I was watching that. And one of them was a trailer for Angel Links. And in that trailer, they say, in this anime, the same universe as Outlaw Star. I'm like, oh, I need to see that more Outlaw Star. That's a cool thing. And for years, I never found it, never could find it, never seen it, until Ethan said, hey, we're going to do a daydream about Outlaw Star. I'm like, cool. Maybe this will finally be my reason to watch Angel Links. He's like, don't. Oh. Actually, I take that back. The first time I mentioned Angel Links to Ethan was when I first started becoming friends with Ethan, and we started talking about anime, and I think it was probably the first thing I said to you when we came to anime. I was like, you ever seen Angel Links? Is it any good? And you're like, no. But I watched it, because I needed to know for myself. And, it's okay. It's not Outlaw Star. It's not Outlaw Star good. That's for dang sure.
It is not Outlaw Star.
If you went into that expecting more Outlaw Star, you would be severely disappointed. However, if you went into it, you know, knowing that, you know, it's not Outlaw Star, like, yeah, it's okay. It's not bad. Average, I would say. The thing is, Outlaw Star is all about cool gunfights and awesome action sequences with cool characters doing cool stuff with cool guns. Angel Links is about drama.
Lots and lots of drama.
It's definitely very drama-esque. So, you know,
it's okay. It is drama based around the security team called Angel Links that made a surprise cameo in Outlaw Star.
Yeah, so...
And those characters changed between series.
Yeah, the episode Law and Lawlessness in Outlaw Star, there's like a dinosaur man and a chick with like spiky yellow hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and those are...
Looks like she belonged on a certain show that involved police. What it's called.
And they were characters in Angel Links, but they're the same character in name only. Their personalities are pretty different. And their appearance.
Dinosaur dude, he was a different color and using a different weapon.
Yeah, so it's very, very loosely related. But it's okay. If you want to watch it, I would not stop you. But know that it's not going to be the super cool action sequence you want from Outlaw Star. I was kind of, it's so, like, so basically, like, 10 years later, I finally watch Angel Inks. Eh.
I think I sat through and watched most of it during, like, almost one go, maybe 2 days apart.
Ooh. Okay, that'd be a hard run. No wonder you don't like it that much.
When is this going to get to the good part? Aww.
It ended. That's the good part, right?
That was, like, the best part.
I don't know. That gun turns in, the ship turns into a giant gun, and they shoot the angel cannon, and, like, space gets all glittery and rainbowy. That's kind of cool. It's very anime.
Yeah, it certainly had a very long, drawn-out scene for them getting it ready to be shot.
Oh, yeah, and the launch sequence that you see every episode. Hey, man, it's an anime made back in the
time. That launch sequence was phenomenally awesome.
Yeah, that launch sequence was good.
Like, shooting the water sphere into the air, and they're traveling behind it to avoid the wind drag or whatever you call that.
The Mach barrier from the ship speeding up. Yeah,
they just crash right through it, and all it does is make it rain.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
great. So yeah, Outlaw Star, the better of these series, where it all began.
I never watched Angel Link, so I can't comment on that.
It's okay. I only watched it. I mean, I wanted to watch for years, but I've watched it now just kind of specifically for this show. So basically appreciate it
as its own anime, but not as anything related to Outlaw Star.
I would give it, you know, a 3 out of 5 if I was rating things on a 5-star scale. Not like I have a Google spreadsheet where I rate every anime I watch on a 5-star scale or anything like that. That'd be crazy.
5-star scale, got it.
Outlaw Star is a solid 5, by the way.
Go back to the editing of the US versions. I was watching the Japanese versions, and I noticed that every single episode, maybe this is me forgetting, but at the beginning of every episode, there's a little intro that kind of gives a little backstory to the episode that's coming up. Did they have that in the US versions?
I don't remember if they had the last time on Dragon Ball Z for Outlaw Star.
Well, not that. It was kind of like they go to the intro. It's like in space, there's a bunch of people that are known by this. And
they totally had
that. Yeah, they had that.
They had that? Okay, I guess I just forgot about that.
They would start out and say the Tau Pirates or whatever they were called and explain them for
a little bit. Yeah, okay. So it had a little bit of a world building, I guess, going on in the beginning. Okay,
yeah, I think those beginning narration parts are really cool, and I think they do a good job of setting up those episodes and the world in general. So I like that stuff a lot. One thing, while we're talking about intros and outros, how about we talk about the outros and the random pictures you get for the outro sequences?
I was going to ask about that.
Never quite seem to be connected to the bodies. Everyone else knows that, right? It's not just me. Like, the head seems just like maybe 1.25% too big.
I never really paid much attention to that. I was more looking at it, I was like, is this supposed to be Melfina? What is this supposed to be?
That's always what I thought, too, that it was supposed to be like Melfina in previous lives or whatever. It was mysterious.
One of them was definitely supposed to be Melfina. Another one is just supposed to be some random alien chick or fairy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I heard the guy was just showing off some art that he... It was probably concept art.
I think it was just concept art. Like, it was used.
And then he just wanted to make it look a lot prettier and went with it.
You know, Lazar, what do we want to do? That's just throw in the outro.
Who's this weird lady with the big head petting this weird space dog? Outro. I don't know.
Or maybe they just ran out of budget.
It was going to be using that season 2 where it was just Gene for some reason. Melfina's supposedly at college, but apparently playing around in space. Taking pictures with a cat dog thing.
It sounds like Kaon all of a sudden. What happened?
What? Okay. Kaon in space. Got it.
No, you know what? I could explain that joke, but it's going to take way too long and it's not worth it. So just don't worry about it. It's not that funny.
Well, I haven't seen season 2 yet, so.
I'm talking about the fictional season 3. Like I say, you don't even want me to talk about it. It's not worth it.
Don't make Azunya cry.
Man, if you're going to watch talk about crying Azunya, and you don't watch that movie if you don't want to cry.
Going back to Outlaw Star.
Yeah, Outlaw Star is an anime.
Melfina sure can change into her clothes pretty quick when she interfaces with the ship. I don't know if you noticed that, like, episode 14, I made particular note of, there was a part where she pretty much changed her clothes really quickly after getting into the ship, into that ship interface.
Yeah, kind of as fast as she can get into that tube and it can come up, she's, like, changed.
Yeah.
Well, they even make a joke about it. I think it was episode 2 or 3, and Jean's like, you sure picked a weird time to get into your swimsuit.
Yeah. Which is weird, like, she's not necessarily, like, she's changing clothes, because in the episode where, like, Gwen Khan, like, it was you who broke my Mason plate, gives her the shutdown code, like, she's on the table in the infirmary later, not wearing her clothes, so clearly she's changing them, she's just really fast at changing her clothes. Are you laughing because I memorized that thing? It's not like I've seen the episode 100 times or anything.
I'm laughing because I can't, when I was thinking about it in the animes, I can't believe the main bad guy of that whole thing, who's super serious, just said that that phrase with such a serious face. It was you who broke my bison plate.
What did he say in Japanese?
It's basically that. Some of it is literally like just katakana, like Mason or something like that. It translates to that. I would have to look it up. I don't have it. I'm not that good at speaking Japanese. Sorry, but I did make note of it when they said that it is that.
Yeah,
that's what it was translated as.
Yeah, he says it in Japanese, but it translates to what he said.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if he said it in, like, broken English.
Oh, yeah, that would be, something.
I am mad scientist.
It was you who broke my simplate. What? I'm sorry, I'm still on. What'd you say?
If you want to go watch a sad episode, go watch episode 20, one with the cat and the girl. Aww. The cats and the girl.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Jim's first possible love? Right?
Yeah, he falls in love with this cool girl who's the same age as him.
She's got the cats.
And she's got some cool cats. And then
she's the enemy. And
then they kill her.
He
doesn't know. Like, oh, where's my girlfriend? She was going to meet me. Oh, I killed her in space, but I'll never know.
So sad.
It was sad. That's what's a cool show.
Way to make the show depressing, Jason.
How about that wooden sword, huh? That's pretty cool. I'm gonna cut a bus in half.
Suzuka is my favorite character.
Voiced by Wendy Lee, I would like to note.
Sorry, I was distracted.
She honestly doesn't get enough airtime. She's only, like, she's in the episode. She only did, like, what, 3 fights in this show, and most of them are less than 30 seconds?
Yeah, because she's Twilight Suzuka. That's as long as the fights last with her. She's awesome.
Okay, fine. I guess I'll give that one to you.
Yeah, you're right, though. She does not get as much screen time as the other characters do. Aisha gets, I would have to add it up, but it seems like Aisha gets way more screen time than Suzuka.
Aisha got her own freaking episode where she got to fight.
Yeah, the wrestling thing.
Yeah.
To be fair, Jean was wrestling in there, too.
You mean Jenny?
Oh, is that what they called her?
They called her Jenny Starwind, yeah. In the episode where the previously mentioned Fred Lowe didn't want to marry a giant muscle chick.
Yeah. So, am I the only one that finds the main battle types of the grappler ships kind of pointless?
Oh, no. Like, oh, you want to get into the science of this. Like, putting a grappler arm on a spaceship to punch another spaceship as you are flying by each other? That's the worst idea. I could do a whole podcast on how that is a terrible thing to do and the worst possible thing you can do on a spaceship. But it's cool.
And then I gave it a gun so you could go pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, it would pull out a gun to shoot.
You know what's worse than that? It would pull out a friggin' tomahawk!
Didn't it pull out, like, a buzzsaw at one point?
Yeah! In the bomb episode.
Yeah, I can totally understand them using the arms for, like, various space things, like, oh, I need to use the arms to do something on the side of this space station to do so-and-so stuff, whatever.
Right. That's the,
they just took it a step further.
That's the lineage of it too. There was even an episode where talking about grappler ships, how it was first it's like, hey, it's, you know, they're using it to do stuff in space, but at some point they started using them as weapons, and now that is the thing. So yeah. Again, that's some of the world building narration stuff at the beginning of episodes. Very well done.
I'd like to see the first person to use one to like fight another one with.
If you tried to punch somebody with the grappler arm on the space shuttle, like you might knock them over. Like, hey, stop that. Bad arm. He doesn't move that fast.
Gotta have a heck of a support system in there.
Yeah, like it's strong, but like only to like hold objects in space that it's in geosynchronous orbit with. Like the second you stress that thing. If the International Space Station decided to go, that arm ain't going very far. We'll put it that way.
So, is there any specific topics any of y'all want to discuss?
Anybody have any Outlaw Star toys? And by that, I'm pretty sure that there's only one in existence, the little pack that came with the Outlaw Star and Gina Melfina.
The one you have?
Yeah.
I think you're the only one on the show that has something.
It's really cool. I wish there was more stuff. I wish that it was more popular. But yeah, that's a cool little thing that goes for crazy prices on Amazon these days. And I got super lucky when I found it. I found it on vacation in Salem, Massachusetts. Yeah, where they'd burned all the witches. There was a really cool comic book store there called Harrison's, and that's where I found this, and it was awesome.
Point of history, Salem was actually in Oregon, where they burnt the witches.
What?
Well, you know, we could discuss them burning witches everywhere across the United States. So...
But I would say Salem, Oregon. They didn't burn them out.
No, Salem, Massachusetts.
I thought it was Salem, Oregon. I'm not looking this up.
I mean, if it's Salem, Oregon, then the entire town of Salem, Massachusetts owes me some tourism money back for all them witch trials.
Maybe I'm wrong. There's a possibility I'm wrong. Okay, you were right.
1600s, which was before they settled that part of the country at all.
Whatever. I'm wrong. Edit my wrongness out. I want to be right.
I mean, it's okay. There's a lot of Salems around. There's a Salem, New Hampshire, just like, you know, a few hundred miles from there. Not even that.
Salem the cat on some.
Actually, isn't Salem the capital of Oregon? No, Salem is the capital of some
cities.
Salem is the capital of the U.S. state of Oregon.
Yes, Oregon. Awesome. That's okay. Washington. I don't know what the capital of Oregon is.
Salem.
Okay.
That's what.
Oh, yeah, it probably is. All right, great.
No, it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
I just looked it up. It is.
Awesome. There you go. Well, I'm glad this all stemmed from me talking about the Outlaw Star toys that I wish everyone could have because they're pretty cool.
I'd much rather have a replica caster.
Wouldn't we all? Man, that'd be so great.
That'd be cool.
Put some LEDs in there and they turn on when it starts spinning so it does the shadowy light.
Yeah, that'd be so awesome. Really cool. But if I start buying replica anime guns, it's only a matter of time before I buy Vash's gun, too.
Just don't bring it. Oh, actually, they have that now.
Yeah, trust me, I know.
So you saw the price on that stupid thing?
Uh-huh.
And you're not even going to be able to bring one of those to a cosplay convention anyways, because that looks way too real.
I can't cosplay as Vash's Stampede. I'm way too fat.
I don't care. Just get the freaking glasses, dye your hair blonde, and get a red...
You know, Wait didn't stop Bubba Moon from
cosplaying. Wait didn't stop Jesse and James from cosplaying.
Mostly Jesse, but...
Yeah. Okay, as a large man in my mid-30s, I don't need to be showing up in my oversized cosplay, okay? I appreciate cosplay from a distance. I think it is very cool, and I'm certainly interested in it, but I am not one to cosplay myself. I have more respect for my other human beings than I am. I am way too fat, hairy, and sweaty to be walking around in a Vash and Stampede cosplay. Anyway, Outlaw Star is a cool show.
You're already blonde, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the upside to it for you.
I mean, and I already have the robotic arm, but, you know, again,
sweet pair of sunglasses.
Have to check that at the con show. Make me tag it.
Favorite character, why and go?
Suzuka. She's awesome. Strong, silent.
I'm going to say Jim. because without Jim, you got no Gene. Gene's awesome, but he's nothing without Jim. They're an awesome team, and Jim's the smart one that makes it work, and he's a kid, and he's a genius.
So this is because of amazing theme music.
Yeah, she just had the best song.
Sakura, yep.
Suzuka's probably actually my real answer, but since you said that, I'll say Jim, just to say other characters.
Make him feel loved.
Yeah.
Stuart.
I'm going to say Hilda. I thought she was pretty cool.
Oh, she definitely went out with a bang.
Hilda's pretty cool, you say, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Went out with a bang, you say. This is the end of the podcast, and we're just now talking about the first character you see in the show, I think.
Yeah, you see her fighting some space pirates.
Hilda, a.k.a. Hot Iced Hilda, is the space... No, she's the outlaw that stole the XGP in the first place and inadvertently, accidentally died, but that's what Gene got the ship. Oh, yeah, outlaws. There's the pirates, which are the bad guys. There's the space forces, which are the good space cops. And there's outlaws that are in the middle ground that do for themselves.
That live on Blue Haven.
Yeah, apparently. Ethan, favorite character.
Okay, so you know that one fight Suzuka gets into with the guy with the big ball thingy?
The clown dude?
No, the other dude. The big, big guy.
The big ball thingy. Oh, yeah, the dude that was like the big ball and chain thing.
Yeah.
The very first fight the second fight she has.
Probably the second fight. I always want to know what his story is, because he's like her, but not quite.
At the very end of the show.
It's probably near the end. I don't know.
They do
the cross slash thing, and he's the one that loses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing too, and it's a good point. Like, I always wondered that myself. Like, there's got to be more to this somewhere. But in watching
Angel Links lets you down.
Yeah, Angel Links didn't fill in that gap. But watching the Japanese version for the first time, finally, they do give a little bit more. Kind of in that there's a little bit more to glean from what they say there. So I feel like that kind of fills in the gap a little bit. From what I've gathered, that space pirate was just an assassin that killed Suzuka's family and for some reason didn't kill her. And so I guess that she just kind of became an assassin, got stronger for seeking revenge kind of thing. You could probably make a whole anime just about that if you wanted to.
I also think they stole, from what it sounded like, maybe I'm wrong, is that he stole, I guess, her mother's face or something?
Yeah, so I was never sure.
A little morbid for that character that I'm recalling.
Yeah, I remember in the English, it always seemed like he got plastic surgery, but in the Japanese version, I've forgotten it now, but it seemed like he did kind of take somebody's face in some weird way. So yeah, it's cool. There's definitely some cool story that's there that is yet to be told and probably never will be told, unfortunately.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting assassin. Kind of scary. It's like he steals the faces of his victims that he enjoyed the most or something.
Yeah, they call that guy Leatherface.
Leatherface.
Yeah. I'm trying to find this guy now because you got me thinking you are talking about the wrong one that I'm talking about.
Well, you said a big ball dude, and we thought you meant to do with the big ball and chain that she fights.
Yeah, that's who I meant. Elfian. Yeah.
That guy does not have Suzuka's face. There's a dude at the very end who is one of the Onten 7 that has Suzuka's face. Talking about the right person. Well, you said the person that has her face, and so we would have thought you meant the person that has the exact same face as her.
Has her face. Jason said something.
We have this on recording.
We do have it recorded. He will edit it out.
He would listen to it and be like, crap, I did say that. Edit. No, I didn't.
Okay, so the dude with the ball and chain, yeah, he's like a kind of a throwaway character that dies like as quickly as he's introduced. Yeah. He's a cool guy. I mean, he seems like there's something there, but we went down a whole different path accidentally there that was a good point, but yeah. It's weird that you're interested in the dude that just has a big ball and chain and not the dude that looks exactly like the other character.
What bothers me is I'm trying to find this character and somehow ended up on Devil Hunter Yoko.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, don't go watch it. Don't. You're not old enough.
Do I need to put that on the list? I don't know.
No.
I'm not old enough? Man. I thought I'd kind of broken through all those age barriers.
Okay, so McDougal Brothers, the caster they have, looks more like a monk, the staff that monks use. That's what it looks like.
Okay, so imagine
it's got those little things on the end of the chain. Yeah, that thing.
That's a good point. Okay, well, so it's
okay.
It's
still this magic Google search is still failing me. Yeah. There's Melfina as a common rider. That's weird. Melfina, you know, I'm going to give up on the search right now.
Melfina wrote her own fanfic? How's that happen?
Yeah, that guy right there, Jason. Thank you.
He looks nothing like Twilight Suzuka, I think we should point out.
Very manly version.
I said he was a big, tall guy.
With Suzuka's face.
I
didn't say anything about the face.
I was 100% with you until you said, has Suzuka's face. I'm like, oh, you mean this complete other character.
I did not say anything right. about her face.
Well, the tape will settle the argument one way or the other. We will know.
Do we need to pause this right now and let you go back and listen to it?
No. By all means, go on.
I mean, we can solve this right now in the episode.
We could. I mean, this is up to you. You're the host.
Do it.
All right, I'm going to pause it now. We're going to go back and see it.
Yay.
Okay, I'm recording. We've reviewed the tape. To be fair, Ethan never said the word face. However,
I said he was like her.
You said he was like her, so, you know.
Not like her, like...
So you like...
It just stopped recording. I don't know, you can fix that.
I was like, I felt something on the back of my leg. I was like, what the heck, is it a spider? And there's a cat tail rubbing against me.
The cat tail disappears halfway through the show? That's the callback joke that means you should start wrapping up the show.
Oh, we're recording again?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, good. I thought you were trying to figure out why it stopped recording still.
I mean, I did. I think I just pushed stop accidentally.
Okay.
Mysteries of the universe revealed. Hot spring is playing the stop button.
Okay, so I'm guessing we are kind of out of topics to talk about now.
We're about an hour-ish, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Not a bad way to make up for almost a whole month, with almost 2 months at this point. The other one was May 3rd, last episode.
I mean, that Wario thing took a lot out of us.
Yeah. Shannon still got the diabetes.
I don't think eating a bunch of Oreos is going to unmake that.
I was going to say, do I need to edit that out? That was... I might edit that out.
You should probably edit that out.
Yeah, I didn't mean to be me. I just, yeah.
Shannon would think it's funny.
Okay, it's staying in.
Oh, great. Okay, well.
He could have died from that.
He had fair warning. He brought extra insulin. I made sure he knew what he was getting into.
All right. All right, so since we were running out of topics to talk about, I guess we will do the outro. If you want to send us an email to tell us how much you love this episode, want to suggest an episode, or even volunteer to be on an episode, that still has not happened yet. You can send an email to datadrain@nintendo-oki.com. You can follow us on the Nintendo Oki Facebook group. I'm on there, Jason's on there, Stuart's on there. Shelby shows up on there on rare occasions.
I'm like Mew. I just show up on rare occasions and like, oh, there's Shelby.
Yeah, you're usually gone by the time people notice.
It's hard. It's hard to catch Mew, man.
Yeah, I think like several of us tagged you the other day.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I noticed. We also have a Twitter, Data Drain Show, I think is what I called it on there. I don't know. I haven't checked it in like a month or two. there's also the YouTube channel, which I think I have a couple of things Jason sent me to upload that I haven't bothered with yet.
More than a couple.
Man, you are just killing this intro. And by that, I mean literally you are beating it down and hurting it and it's on the ground whimpering.
I love it. I could ask you where the go-rounds went, Shelby.
Hey, we did like 300 of those things. Over 300. You're on episode like 28. Get busy living or get busy podcasting. I don't know.
Get good.
You ain't first, you're last. Let's see. YouTube, Twitter, email. Yeah, covered all those. Stuart, thank you for joining us.
Next time, we will discuss Escaflowne.
You don't get to decide that. Shelby, thank you for being on here and recording this.
Yeah, there are several times in Angel Inks where they use the same gun sound effect from the going to commercial thing from Outlaw Star, and it always freaks me out. Like, oh wait, no, it's not that show.
Yeah, that's a very specific sound effect.
It too. Is. Yeah, it's a good one.
And Jason, thank you for co-hosting.
For those of you that want to watch the Hot Springs episode that you may have missed in the English version, it's episode 23.
Episode kind of sucks.
Hey, it was a very pivotal plot point, though.
You miss nothing if you don't see that
episode. It really was a pivotal plot point, though. You cannot deny that.
The whole episode, they...
The very end of the episode was pivotal plot point.
Oh, that's what you're talking about, I'm going to say. Because he makes up the whole plot of that episode with two sentences at the beginning of the next episode after it.
I got those casters. It's a good thing we did that.
Yeah, he's talking about not the casters. Like, okay.
And this is the negative side effects of those caster shells.
Okay, so with that, we will see you next time on Data Drain.